Okay, if you'll take your Bibles, and we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 today. Start off with. I want to look at the topic of pray without ceasing today. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If I can get to it, I'm sure you guys are all there before I am. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I lost it there. Concerning you. See, so pray without ceasing. When I started looking at this topic and the word, it amazed me how much, and we're pretty much just looking at the New Testament today. I don't think we're going anywhere else, really. How many of the references to prayer that are in the New Testament have this notion of praying without ceasing. And we're going to see a lot of words that are related to without ceasing. In other words, having a lifestyle of prayer. I think I loved George Mueller's expression that he said he lived in the spirit of prayer. It gives you the idea of what that means. In other words, it's not like that we also do set aside prayer time and we do those things as well in our own lives. We schedule time to pray, but it has to be a habit, an attitude of prayer, praying without ceasing, right? Without ceasing. Just we pray. That's who we are. It's not just something that we do. It's what we are. We pray to our God. We need His help. We want to be in touch with Him all the time, right? And prayer is a great way to do that. Before we look at those records, I want to just cover one thing in 1 Corinthians 14, and that is when we're talking about prayer, and Patrick mentioned it today in his prayer. But when we're talking about prayer, we want to always keep in mind and that for us as sons and daughters of God, we have two levers of prayer. So all the things that we're going to look at in the Word that talk about prayer can apply both to prayer with the understanding and praying in tongues. So 1 Corinthians 14, 15 says, I will pray. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So we have two ways in which to pray. So when we talk about praying without ceasing, with the other verses we look at today, we keep in mind that there are those two ways to pray. We can pray like we did today in fellowship, or we can speak in tongues. And if you look at Romans chapter 8 for a second, Romans chapter 8, to me, it amazes me that men and women in the Old Testament prayed for many hours or overnight or long periods of time when they didn't have the ability to speak in tongues. And they didn't have the ability, like we read here in Romans 8:26, for God to cover for the fact that we don't know what to pray for. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we have, how powerful is that, that you don't have to even know the details of what you're praying for, right? And many times in our own lives, I know that I have a need in an area. I don't really know what it is. I don't understand what's necessary in a situation. So speaking in tongues, what a great thing God gave us. We just speak in tongues. God knows. So when we talk about praying without ceasing, it's a whole lot easier for us in the New Testament to have this attitude of prayer because we can just speak in tongues and that covers for situations, right? So just to look at this topic of, praying without ceasing, we'll look at Romans chapter 1. We'll start there. Romans chapter 1, verse 8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith has spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer." Look at the words, "without ceasing and always in my prayers, making a request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Right? So those words, "without ceasing" or "always." Did he pray 24 hours a day for them? No. That's not what it's... He just pre-prayed. When he thought of it, he prayed. He prayed for them. Prayer was his lifestyle. That's what he did in his life, right? And, you know, Paul is a great example for us, right? He even said himself he was an example. Didn't he also say, "be followers of me," right? "Even as I am of Christ." Did Jesus Christ have a habit of... We're not even looking at Jesus Christ's prayer life today. We could spend, you know, many fellowships looking at his prayer life, right? And yet, you know, here's Paul. You follow the example of his Lord, right? Praying, "I pray for you always." Without ceasing, he prayed for them, right? In Romans chapter 12. One person once said that there's a difference between praying and saying your prayers, right? There's a big difference. You know, praying is where you are in touch with God. You're carrying on a conversation, a two-way conversation with the Father. You know, just saying your prayers can be a, you know, ritual that you do, right? That's some emotions that we maybe go through. So prayer is, you know, I would say that if that's where prayer is for you, I'd stop for a while until I get the other one right, because, you know, none of us want religion in our life, right? I don't want religion, because religion makes me nauseous, right? So if I find that my prayers are prayers of where I'm just, okay, I got to go through this thing today, I'm done, I got this much time, okay, done, finished, moving on, next thing, you know, it's like, well, then I've, you know, maybe I'm really missing the heart of prayer. That's just me, okay? I'm not speaking for you, you know. Praying is understanding that we have an audience. Again, another aspect of prayer we can look at, our audience with the Father and the reverence that we're to have in that audience, right? But we're not looking at that, right? So, looking at without ceasing. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. He says, "not slothful in business, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." You know, if you're going to continue instant in prayer, in other words, something happens or something's coming up or some situation you need to deal with, it has to have been a habit, right? it's not going to happen like that. If you're not going to be able to continue instant in prayer if it hasn't become a regular habit in life to pray to God and to ask his assistance. How often do we think that we can handle the situation on our own, right? You know, I mean, too often, kids can do homework. Having trouble with homework? Well, did you ever think of praying, right? Having trouble with a teacher, having trouble with a fellow student, having trouble with whatever, did you ever consider, you know, like, it ought to occur to you that I ought to pray. You know, it shouldn't be like, oh yeah, I should pray, right? No, prayer is to be our first, you know, and that's a great quote from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, "is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire," right? Right. So if it, you know, is it something you go to in case of emergency, or is it something that you use to direct your life, right? What is it, you know, that, so if we're continuing instant in prayer, it's become the habit of our life to, you know, okay, Father, here, you know, it could be an innocuous situation as walking into a grocery store, you know, why not pray, right? Why not? I'd rather do that than read the 1,000 ads that are flying at you, you know, or, you know, why not? Why not get the habit of being instant in prayer? And Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me," right? Strive together, right? Now, he didn't just say, you know, the odd time, you're thanking me, say God bless. He said, strive together, which, you know, by the way, that word strive, it comes from the same root word where he talks about, I have fought a good fight, or laboring fervently. It's the same word, you know. All these imply effort, work, time, labor. All these words imply that, and it's used in the context of prayer, right? So without ceasing, that tends to imply a little bit of effort, a little bit of thinking, a little bit of planning in life, right, to pray, you know. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Actually, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 3. Verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timothy came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Night and day praying exceedingly. Do you think that might have had something to do with the fact that they were still standing on the word, right? You know, I don't know what prayer does in the sense of how it works. I don't know. I mean, if God wanted us to know the exact mechanics of things, he would have told us. He just says to pray, and then he'll hear us, and he'll answer our prayers. That's what he told us. I think that's pretty clear. That's pretty simple, right? Here's a situation where night and day praying, see how those words all tend to imply without ceasing, right? Don't they? Night and day praying exceedingly, right? That we might save you. See, again, when you read some of these verses, you'll see there's some things that he prayed for that, you know, are indication of the kind of things we can pray for. See your face and might perfect that which is lacking your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. You see, he had wanted to go see them, right? But hadn't been able. And then he said he's praying night and day, and he's letting God open the door. He even said it, let God direct us now unto you. He didn't just pray and say, now I'm going to find out how I can make my way there to see them. That's not what he said. He prayed night and day exceedingly, and he said, now let the Lord direct us unto you. You see, the prayer wasn't just one of, okay, I'll pray, and then I'm going to find the best way to get there myself. No, he prayed, and then he said, I'll let God direct us unto you now, right? It was, the Lord God himself and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There are some great things that we can pray for one another, that we all have established hearts, that we're all awaiting the coming of Jesus Christ, that we all can be unblameable, that our love toward one another and others can abound. Great things that we can pray for one another, right? Great ideas. Or Colossians chapter 1, please. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Sounds like without ceasing. For the hope, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, remember that name, okay? As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras here is called a faithful minister in Christ. Remember that. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So, do not cease sounds like without ceasing, doesn't it? We do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled, here's a great prayer, be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's a prayer. Wow. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a great prayer, right? You know, the kind of things we can pray for that we would all understand. You know, church epistles are written to us, and you know, a lot of these prayers are oriented towards the believers understanding what the extent of what was written in the church epistles meant to them, right? A lot of these prayers, you see them, you know, they may increase in the power, understand the great power, understand all that Jesus Christ has done, right? There's some wonderful prayers to pray for one another. But there they are again, without ceasing. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven, right? Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So if we're to continue in it, then we must have to start in it, right? And also to continue, keep going in, right? Did you see how all the words lead to without ceasing, fervent, laboring? All these words are great words. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So here's an example of where we can watch in prayer over one another, right? Like, example, my mom, you know, she's in Calgary now. I don't know all the details of what's going on. I don't know, right? But certainly, we can watch in prayer for her or any situation that a believer might be in. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. So, if they had prayed for Paul, it was somehow, because of their prayers, okay, God could open a door of utterance for Paul to speak the word. How does that work? I don't know. Right. But isn't that what it says? He says, pray that I can have the opportunity to speak the word of God. Right. So, it must be necessary for us to pray. Right. What does it do? I don't know. How does it work? What it does, I do know, because it says right there, open a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am also in bonds. Verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras. Oh, there's that name again. He was called a faithful minister in Christ, right? This is the only other place he's mentioned. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Always laboring fervently, and he's called a faithful minister of Christ, right? Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, right? For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, right? So a man who loved them very much, he loved them so much that he prayed fervently, labored in prayer for those believers, right? And he's called a faithful minister in Christ, right? It's neat. Philippians chapter 1. Jesus Christ gave the men a parable and said, men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. Isn't it? Didn't he teach his disciples that? not to faint, right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philip, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Right? There's without ceasing. Every time that he remembered those believers, he thanked God for them. He didn't say, oh, I remember that guy who did to me and so-and-so. No, he just thanked God for them. Thought of the believers, he thanked God for them. Right? Thank you, Father, for them. You know, I don't know what there was happening. I sure thank God for you. Thank you for them, God. You know, that's why you just thank God for them. What a great little simple prayer. A habit. Like when I think of somebody, maybe I ought to have a habit of praying for them. You know, maybe that's a good example to follow because he told me to follow the example, right? So maybe that's a good example. When I think of one of you or my family or, you know, somebody that I haven't thought of for a while, thank you, God, for them, you know. There's no room in life to carry bitterness towards anybody, is there? There just isn't time or effort or, you know, mental cycles. You just say, thank you, God, for them, you know. Whatever reason they're brought up to you in your remembrance. Verse 4, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy. Always, you know, without ceasing, every remembrance, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident at this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that exactly what's said in many other places? How about stay unblameable, that you might be found blamed by the coming of Jesus Christ and his appearing? You see how their whole goal in this, a lot of these prayers was that the believers would stand, right? That they would stand faithful on God's word, right? That's a good prayer. Verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. There it is again, right? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What an amazing, wonderful prayer, right? He did this regularly. Whenever he thought of them, praying always for them, that was his heart, right? Look at Philippians chapter 4, a verse you all know. Not that you don't know the other ones, okay? This verse I'm sure we've all thought about much. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, without ceasing, God says, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything. That's without ceasing, right? So any opportunity for anxiety, you know, it says we're to pray. But we're to pray and in everything, right? See, it covers the whole gambit, doesn't it? Don't be anxious for anything. Instead of being anxious for things, in everything give thanks, right? Not for everything, in everything, you know, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right? Oh, wow, it's pretty straightforward. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give. Does that sound like without ceasing? Cease not, right? How many times does God say it in the New Testament to us? Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Right? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's another prayer, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Look at these prayers in the New Testament, right? They're all related to understanding all that the Lord has done for us. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. and what is the what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. God, you know, that's a great prayer too. You know, I want to understand more about the power that has been wrought in Christ Jesus that now lives within us. I want to understand more about that. Right? When we pray, that's something that I want to have at the forefront of my mind, right? That the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, which is the next couple of verses that says that, right? That raised him from the dead is what we have, right? And it's what here Paul prayed that they would understand that. Not just so we could leave it sit, but that we could use that, right? I want to understand that. There's a great prayer, you know. If you ever want to pray for me, please pray that for me, right? Because I would like to understand that better. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. Praying always. Those words used, praying always, right? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's speaking in tongues. And watching. There's that watching again, right? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Man, prayer is power. Prayer is great, isn't it? Here, look at the things you can do. And you don't have to even leave your bedroom or your living room or your car or the grocery store, right? Wherever you are, praying always, all supplication, continuing, instant, laboring, with striving, all these great words, you know, without ceasing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You see how the same words keep showing up in the context of prayer? Over and over and over again, night and day, without ceasing, always, right? You know, he prayed. So just by what we read about Paul, it sounds like he prayed quite a lot, didn't he? He lived in the habit of prayer, and this is just one man, right? I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, you know, greatly desiring to see thee and so forth. Look at Philemon chapter 1. Easy to miss Philemon, right? That one page. Philemon, and in verse 4, this is Paul writing to Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Another believer. We don't hear much about Philemon beyond this. And Paul said he prayed for him always, right? I thank God, my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And in verse 22, it says, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you, right? He's like, I pray for you, Philemon. If you want to see me, I'd hope that you're praying for me, that there could be an open door so that I can come and see you. You see, prayer, what prayer does, prayer with believing, what it can do, basically that's another topic of prayer we could look at, right? The things that prayer did and things that it can do. But you see how these men that we're reading about, Paul specifically here, but other men too, that we Epaphras and Timothy and these believers, they prayed. They made a habit of prayer. When Peter was in prison, right, it says prayer was made without ceasing. Right, then what it says? Without ceasing by the church for him. When God talked to Cornelius, his prayers and alms are come up as a memorial before God, right? There's prayers. You know, God was noticing it? Obviously. Right? God saw that. The man had a heart for prayer. Remember Anna, right? Didn't she pray night and day? in the temple, and then you know, and she saw the birth of Christ. She saw the birth that of the Lord, right? When they when the apostles were so busy, they had to pick out 7 men in Acts, right? What'd they say? Well, you guys do this, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word, right? They were going to give them, in order to deal with what's going on, they said that they would pray a lot. That's maybe contradictory to most people's thinking. In order to get a lot of things done, they said, we're going to pray. That's what John Wesley said. You know, what did he say? I have this quote from him. He said, I have so much to do that I spend several hours in prayer before I'm able to do it, right? You know, so if you ever think prayer is a waste of your time, right, it's the exact opposite, right? You think God can't multiply our time, right, in order to get things done quicker if we pray and involve him than if we, well, I don't have time to pray because I got so much to do, right? You know, it's the exact opposite, right? Prayer, without, that's why God can say things like without ceasing, always laboring fervently, because he knows from his point of view what it will accomplish, right? And from our point of view, if it's like, well, it's just, I haven't got time, I'm busy, you know, I'm so busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing my schoolwork, I'm doing homework, I'm going to work, I'm doing all this, I don't have time to pray, you know, but I will. I'm going to make some time next year. My New Year's resolution is going to be, you know, no, you know, look at what the words God uses. Our heart and our example, we should follow the examples that God sets in his word and forget about the things we think about. You know, if we don't think that prayer accomplishes what the word says it will accomplish, and we don't think it'll actually save us time, we need to go to God's word to see that it will do that, right? We need to change this according to what this says, and our lifestyle according to what this says, not try to adapt this to our lifestyle, right? We'll close in James chapter 5. It just amazed me how many times the same words just keep coming up in context of prayer. And one of the ones that comes up at least 4 or 5 times is night and day, right? It's without ceasing, laboring, fervently, always, every prayer. You get tired sometimes just thinking about it, right? But, you know, the Bible says that speaking in tongues is a rest to our soul, right? It's refreshing, it's invigorating, it's, you know, it's to give us more strength, right? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Did I say Ephesians? James chapter 5. That doesn't sound like Ephesians. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Look at those words again. Effectual, fervent, earnestly, right? That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. There's a good chance he prayed a few times during those months and didn't rain. You think? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Like, you know. You know, what a great example. A man just, did he have tongues? No. That was Old Testament, right? And yet, you know, God has him written up as an example here in the New Testament, right? A man prayed a lot. Did Jesus Christ pray? Prayed, you know, absolutely. He prayed, and when we did look at his life, I think we looked at it once here, once or twice or a few times, but that, you know, he had a habit of praying regularly, rising up a great while before day and then praying. When he was in tough situations to make tough decisions, he prayed all night, or prayed when John the Baptist died. He found the time to go away and pray, you know, to deal with all of life. And that he's not God, okay, right? You read those records and you're going to say that God would need to do that. It's just ludicrous, right? He was a man with subject like passions as we are, just like Elijah was, right? He was a man. He had the need to pray to his God, to pray to his Father, to get the strength that he needed, right? Just like we do, right? So, you know, it's always good for us to go to the Word to see what it says about the things that we that become a habit for us, the things we do regularly. It's good for us to remember, what does the Word of God say about it? Why do we do these things, right? And what can we expect from what we do, right? You know, then we don't get into the habit of, well, it's just something I do. No, it's not something. It's something that God has asked us to do. It's something that He wants us to do, and something that He had His men that followed Him do, who told us to be followers of them, right? And to follow their example of prayer. So, you know, there's a lot about prayer in the Bible. That's just one aspect of it, but an important one, right? To remember that we make habit, that without ceasing, not 24 hours a day, but it's a habit where, you know, when you think of one another, when you have situations come up, we're just walking along, giving thanks for the day, whatever it is, right, in life, we make a habit of prayer, you know, habit, we pray. We don't set aside, you know, here's my 10 minutes, that I'm done, and then not think about God or pray for the next, you know, 23 hours, 50 minutes, right? It's just a habit, we pray. They asked, was it Wigglesworth, I think? You know, another wonderful believer over the ages. Do you pray much? Right? Remember his answer? He goes, no, I never pray. I can't say I ever pray more than about half an hour. He goes, but half an hour never passes without me praying. Right? That's what he said. Right? Example. Follow brother in Christ, right? So, I mean, his answer wasn't that he prayed all the time. Just that it was a habit. That it would be something that always he did, right? Not 3 hours and then nothing for next year, but just a habit of prayer, right? So, praying without ceasing.